The Single Mom Podcast, episode 68. Do you have a current parenting agreement with your ex? If not, you definitely should. In today's podcast, I talk about the ins and outs of a parenting agreement, what they are, and why it's really important for you to have one. Now, I do have to make this little side note that I am not a lawyer. I am not giving any legal advice. All of my information that I'm providing in this podcast is based off of my own experience, and they are my suggestions. If you feel you need to, and I always highly recommend it if necessary, consult a lawyer before making any legal decisions. Now, on to the show.
This podcast is a proud member of Parents on Demand, a network of high-quality shows for families just like yours. Download our free network app on Apple and Android and listen to your favorite episodes on the go.
Welcome to the Single Mom Podcast, a show dedicated to all of you rock star moms out there who are doing it all on your own while trying to keep your sanity and sense of humor. Our show covers a ton of different topics, all intended to inspire and motivate you single moms out there to live your absolute best lives. Now, let's dive into today's show. Hey guys, and welcome to this episode of the Single Mom Podcast. I hope you are having a wonderful day today. Today I am, at the time that I'm recording this, I'm actually kind of sore. My daughter and I actually got rear-ended the other day, yesterday. And it was a three-car accident where a girl was texting and driving and ran into the person behind me, who then proceeded to run into me, which was fun. Thankfully, my car had the most minimal damage. Probably just going to have my bumper replaced. My daughter and I are fine. We're just sort of achy, you know, from the accident. But the other two cars definitely were, well, I know one at least was totaled. The one in the middle, unfortunately, was probably going to end up being totaled. And because there was extensive rear end damage to her car, and the other car was a Land Rover. So they may be able to get away with just replacing their radiator, which I'm certain was cracked in the accident because there was antifreeze all over the ground. So, but who knows? But everybody's okay. But I've just spent the day dealing with insurance agents and filing reports, and it's been a kind of a pain. But thankfully, we are all okay, and I am just focusing on that because it could have been really bad, and I'm very grateful that it was not, and nobody was seriously hurt, because it was me and my daughter, and then the woman in the middle car, it was her and her daughter. So thankfully, everybody was okay, especially the little ones. So, but so that's what I've been dealing with, and I'm going to actually dive into today's topic, which has absolutely nothing to do with accidents or texting and driving, but I wanted to do that as kind of a little PSA. Do not text and drive at all, ever, especially in rush hour traffic on a freeway, because we were in stop-and-go traffic on the freeway when we got hit. So it could have been really bad. Thankfully, she wasn't able to get up very much speed. I mean, she was going a decent speed to do some decent damage, but had she been going freeway speeds, that accident would have been a whole lot worse, and somebody definitely would have been hurt. So, but definitely PSA, do not text and drive, especially when you have little ones, because it's really important that they are safe. So, just thought I would have that little moment in my podcast, but we're going to dive into today's topic. And today's topic is one that I've thought about doing a podcast on, but just never really decided to dive into it because there's so many different layers and factors and things that could be brought into it that it just seemed like it would be a really long podcast and very involved. And I didn't know that I wanted to do that, but I'm going to try really hard to still keep this at, you know, my normal like 30 minute or so level, and try and get as much in here as possible, try and cover the different viewpoints. But it is going to, you know, there's just a broad topic. So what we're going to talk about today is parenting agreements and whether or not you need one. Now, there are very likely many of you who are listening to the podcast who have a parenting agreement, and this podcast may not relate to you, so you definitely don't have to listen to it. However, you know, maybe you have one that you don't agree with, or maybe it's not the best one, or maybe you're still angry about it. And so if that's the case, you know, you may want to listen to this podcast because it may give you some insight or some different points of view that maybe you just hadn't considered. So parenting agreements, for those of you who are not familiar with it, if you're new to being a single mom, where you have joint custody or the other parent is in your kids' lives. Now, some of you may not have this issue at all. So for example, like me, my kids, my twin boys, their dad has not been a part of their life since they were infants, since they were 6 months old. So I never had to worry about it. It was not something I even had to think about. I was sole custody. All parental rights were given to me. I have never had to worry about it, which made it difficult when my daughter came around and her dad obviously wanted to be a part of her life. He was going to be a dad who's going to step up and he was going to be involved. And for a really long time, we did not have a parenting agreement. We just sort of had an understanding. Like we talked about, oh, well, you know, what days are you going to come get her? And, oh, okay, that's fine. Or no, that's not okay. Or it was all sort of up in the air. It was always very up in the air. And because of that, there was always he had the ability to just kind of bail. So there was a lot of time in the beginning when my daughter was really young that her dad just completely bailed on his time with her and then would come back and complain that he hadn't seen her and he misses her. And I would get very angry with him. And I'm like, well, if she's that important to you, why are you not showing up on the days that you're supposed to, that you say you're going to be here? If you're not going to show up on the days that you say, why should I give you makeup days? If she's not important to you on the days you're supposed to have her, why is she important to you now? So there was a lot of animosity at the very beginning of our relation, of our co-parenting journey, because we split up very early in my daughter's life. She was one, not yet two, when he and I split up. And so trying to find a way to do this parenting agreement or do parenting time and have that animosity was really, really hard. And I struggled with it. And I also struggled with the fact that I had never had to share my child before. I had never co-parented. It had always been me. And so there was a huge control factor on my part because I had never had to do anything like this before. You're telling me I have to ask somebody if it's okay if I do something with my kid? What? Are you kidding? Never had to do that. I don't have to ask anybody. I don't have to tell anybody if I make a doctor's appointment. I don't have to tell anybody if I want to cut her hair. I don't have to tell anybody about anything. Oh yeah, maybe I do, right? Like I have to actually consider him. And it was always a second thought. And I know that that made him very, very angry and he got very frustrated with it. And I get it. And he definitely had a right to feel that way. But it was very hard because he had a hard time seeing it from my side. You know, where I'm just like, look, you gotta cut me some slack. You gotta understand that there are gonna be times where I'm gonna totally put my foot in it and mess up, or I'm gonna be controlling, or I'm gonna assume that it's okay for me to do something without considering how you feel about it, because I just am not used to having to consider someone else when it comes to parenting. I'm not used to it, right? Even when we were a couple, I wasn't used to it. Or whatever we were. I still don't know that I considered us a couple, but I was trying to like mad to delude myself. We were a couple, but anyway. So it was really, really difficult. And so you may be going through that too, where you're just kind of at the beginning and you're not even sure what a parenting agreement is or if you need one. You may be long time into a co-parenting relationship and still not have one. So here's what a parenting agreement is. Basically, it's a legal document that you can either come up with together, which is the most ideal situation, or one that a court gives you, which basically lays out all the rules when it comes to your co-parenting, right? What your schedule is as far as visitation, how long is your kid with mom, how long are they with dad, how many overnights, how many days, who gets them on what holidays, how do you share holidays, do you even share holidays, things down to religion, right? Are you okay with them going to a certain church or not, or does it have to be something that's agreed upon? Education, right? any type of educational expenses. Who plays for them? Is it all the dad's responsibility, or do you split it 50-50, or is it all the mom's responsibility? Medical, who covers that, right? What happens if a parent does not show for their time? What happens if they bail, right? Is their entire visit forfeited? Things like that. Child support can be considered in there and put into your parenting agreement, and should be. If you haven't filed for child support and you're not thinking of getting it, or you haven't been getting it and you haven't ever filed for it, you need to do it. It's important. And I understand that there's a lot of people out there who would rather not deal with the hassle. They're like, oh, they're gone, I don't care, they were a pain in my butt, and I'd rather just not have anything to do with them. And if you're okay with that separation and that suits you, that's fine. But if this person is participating in your child's life, and even if they're not, if you are not that person who's like, I don't want to even have that connection, I don't care if he pays child support as long as he's not around, more power to you. But if that's not who you are, then they should be paying child support. They had a part in creating the child, so they have a part in financially helping raise the child. And so it can cover all of these different things, all the different aspects, right? Travel, right? Vacations, things of that nature. Can your ex or you, can either of you take your child out of the state without notifying the other? Typically, that's not a good idea, right? Both my ex and I, if we decide to take our child out of the state or out of the country, the other person has to know about it, has to approve it, and knows all the information and the details of the trip, right? So that they know where their kid is at all times. I know the resorts that my kids go to. I know the flights that they're on, or my daughter, rather, when she takes trips. I know all of that. When I take any trips, I give my ex my itinerary, our flight information, where we're going to be staying, the number to my folks' house, like, so that he has a way of getting a hold of his daughter. If anything happens, or if he's worried and he can't get a hold of her for some reason, he has other ways of contacting her or me. So, and that's just common courtesy. Now, I know that for some of you, the idea of common courtesy with your ex is really hard. And it was really, really, really hard for me in the beginning as well. And sometimes it still is too, because there are many times where I'm like, okay, he's being a tool, and I don't want to give him that I don't want to do it. I really just want to get down in the dirt and the mud and start slinging mud. And that's what, like, that, you know, that visceral response of when you were like in kindergarten, you know, when your anger goes up and your IQ goes down and you start saying things that are just really not nice and not good. But it's really important. And I know it's hard. I know it's really, really, really hard, especially if they're jerks, especially if it's a contested divorce, especially if you're fighting over custody, especially if you have a hard time letting go like me, if you have a hard time with control. There's so much, right? For a lot of us, we're the primary caregivers. So when we are no longer in the relationship and it comes time for us to talk about letting our children go with their other parent without us there, that's really hard for us sometimes, because we're not there to control the situation. We're not there to know that everything's okay. We're not there to know that they're eating the foods that they're supposed to, and that they're going to bed at the right time, and that they're being kept on a nap schedule or whatever, right? Those are things that I definitely struggled with. And it was really, really hard and annoying. I was annoyed, you know, because he never understood. And in my mind, I'm like, it should be very simple. Our daughter needs to take a nap. She needs to do this on a regular basis. Because if she doesn't, she comes home cranky. And then I have to deal with it. And you leave me with a cranky baby, which sucks, right? So, yeah. So you definitely have to have some sort of parenting agreement. It's the best for everyone. It is, especially if there's a lot of animosity, if ever there's a worry of if I send my kids with the other parent and we're fighting, can he keep them and not give them back? In many states, the states are 50-50 parenting. And if you don't have a parenting agreement in place that states specifically what your visitation agreement is, it is very likely that the other parent can just hang on to your kids until a court says they have to give them back. And that is not something that you ever want to have to deal with or worry about. So it's really, one, best for the kid, because it gives them some sort of normalcy, and it gives them, hopefully, a structure, and it gives you and the other parent peace of mind because you know we're going to be adhering to this, right? Ideally. And if the other parent doesn't adhere to this, then you can go back to court and say, this person's not doing it, right? They're not doing this, or they're not doing that, or this is what's happening. This is, you know, so it just gives you a lot of, again, peace of mind and comfort knowing that there's something in place that just lays out all of these things. So everything's just not up in the air. Now, we're going to go to a real quick break. And when we come back, I'm going to discuss a couple of kind of do's and don'ts and things that you really need to consider when you are doing a parenting agreement. So we'll be back right after this quick break, and then we'll dive into that.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Okay, welcome back. And before the break, we were talking about the parenting agreement and why it's so important and how it gives you some structure and just real solid, this is what we're going to do, right? These are the rules. This is who's going to pay for what. This is how we're going to claim them on our taxes. That's another thing to consider. There's so many different things that you need to consider. And if you establish a really good, solid parenting agreement from the get-go, it'll be something that'll be valid throughout their whole life, right? The only thing that may potentially change is visitation. So for example, in the beginning, because my daughter was so young, they, you know, all of the different parenting time plans that I saw, all of the different studies and all, I researched it. Because again, I had never had to develop a parenting agreement. I had never had to develop a visitation schedule. So I had to go online and look up and see what's best for a child at my age. What do they recommend? Should they, you know, at the age that she's at, can we do a week on, week off? Is that not okay? And I was just clueless. So I had to look, and I spent hours and hours just digging through information. And I found what some were the best, and there was a couple of different options. And ideally for her age, they said, you know, obviously she can spend time with the other parent as much as you feel comfortable with. However, it's recommended that every night they come back to the main sort of home because they need that security and that comfort and that routine for bedtime. And it's just, it's more, there's some psychological reason for it. I don't remember. It's been so long since I looked it up, but that was what I said. Now, when I presented that to my ex, he quite literally balled it up and threw it at me in my face, like literally threw it in my face. Because he was not happy with that. He's like, no, I'm not going to agree to that. I don't care what they say. And I'm fairly certain he was intoxicated at the time we were talking about it. So that could be why that happened. But regardless, he would not agree to a parenting agreement. He would not do it. So what we had to do, we actually had to go to moderation. We had to go to a moderator and have, or a mediator, sorry, mediation. Mediation with a mediator. Different word. And basically, that's where you come down and you meet with a non-biased, independent individual who hears both sides and then decides what needs to happen. So I came to them and I said, this is my parenting agreement. This is what I would like. Here's the schedule that I'm, and she's like, you know, and she even said, she goes, well, what schedule? I said, well, I presented him with three different schedules and he's turned every single one of them down. He said he would not agree to any of them. He wants a week on, week off. That's not okay with me. From everything that I've researched for a child our daughter's age, that's not a good thing. When she gets older, yes, potentially. But right now, as a toddler, not even a toddler yet, she was only like one, this is not going to be, it's not a good fit. So the mediator, you know, talked to me, talked to him, and then brought us back together. And she sat down and then we came up with some sort of schedule. But I told her, I said, I would like him to say what he wants and you to tell him if you think that's good or not. Here's what I'm not okay with. Here's what I am okay with. Work it out with him because I've tried multiple times. So came back, gave him something and, you know, he's like, well, I'm still not happy with that. And she looked at him and said, you're lucky to get this. I'm just telling you right now, this is actually better than what a court or a judge is going to give you. So either you take this or you take your chances in court. And when you go to court, you're going to get less time than this. I guarantee you. There's no judge that's going to give you more than every other weekend, two overnights for a child her age. They're just not going to do it. So, especially when mom is a primary caregiver for this child. So again, we had to do that, but it was a struggle and it was hard for me coming up with this parenting agreement. Cause again, I was trying to be fair, but I was also dealing with a lot of animosity. And so when, and if you sit down and start working on your parenting agreement, here's some things that you need to take into consideration. The first thing is, you've got to really consider your kid. This parenting agreement, while it is there for you and your ex to have some sort of just set guidelines of what is and isn't okay and what is and isn't going to happen, the core purpose of this is for your child. And a child going back and forth between two homes, living with two different families, it's a hard experience all around, okay? So you've got to think about what their life is going to be day to day, you know, how they're going to feel. And you can't go at it with the, you know, idea of, well, I want this because it's convenient for me. I want this because it's easier for me. I want this because I want to stick it to my ex. You can't go at it with that thought. You just can't. I know it's hard because there's a lot of us that have exes who are just douches, right? But if you go at it with that mentality, instead of what is best for our child and what is fair for the two of us, and sometimes it's even easier, stop and think to yourself, if the situation was reversed and my ex was coming up with this plan and presented it to me, how would I feel about it? And if any of that feels bad, if you're like, no, I would never accept that, I would be pissed, this would not be okay with me, then you need to recognize that maybe what you're doing is not the best part. Like, this is not a good idea for your parenting agreement. Now, there are situations that are really hard that do have to be considered. And this is one thing that I struggled with when I was doing my parenting agreement, is that my ex it's up in the air right now at this point. I know he's doing better, but at the time he was drinking significantly more than he is now. And that was a huge concern for me. So there was also a concern for safety, and that had to be brought into play. And so there are always potentially going to be little other like nuances. Everybody's situation is going to be different. Of course, if you have an abusive type of situation, or the parent is potentially a threat or a danger, then again, that's something just to consider in the parenting agreement, to say, okay, if they are allowed to see the child, if I know they have an addiction, or I know that they're not a safe environment, or I know that they don't have a safe home, or, you know, whatever the case is, if there's a worry about your child's safety, obviously that needs to be included in the parenting agreement. And it's something that needs to be addressed in court, potentially, to say, you know, if my ex does want to be a part of my child's life, here's the concerns that I have about my child's safety. Here's why I have those concerns. And here's how I want to address them. You know, the courts can order potentially a parent if they need to get help. They can mandate that visitations be supervised, right? So there's a lot of different things that can be done to help ensure that your child is safe and in a safe environment. And those are things that, if you do worry about that, I highly recommend potentially seeking out some legal advice to see what you can and cannot do, what you may need to do, what type of documentation you might need to back up, you know, whatever reasons you have for your concerns, things like that. And again, I do want to state that what I'm saying is not and cannot be taken as legal advice. I am not a lawyer by any means. This is just all from my experience and what I've gone through and what my recommendations are based on my experience, and knowing that there are a lot of parents out there who don't have anything formal in place, but really should. So that's the first thing. Consider your kid, make sure that your child is at the core of what you're looking for in your parenting agreement, and that it's not something that's being used to get back at your ex. I know that my ex, and even if you do come at it with altruistic and the best intentions, it's very possible that your ex is going to push back because they don't like it for whatever reason. My ex, he thought I was using it as a way to totally screw him over. And no matter what I said, he wouldn't see anything different, right? No matter what, I was like, here, I have documentation. Here's this is what they say. Look, I printed all this up. I like had everything to give to him. And he's just like, I'm not looking at that. I'm not reading that. I don't care. So they may not make it easy. And ultimately for me, what it boiled down to when it came to filing the paperwork for all of this, I tried to give it to him. He refused to take it from me. And so I had to have him served. My ex was very resistant to this process, and he seemed offended. So there's that. Make sure that your kid is at the core, that's very important. Make sure you're considering, again, all of the stuff all through their years, like as they grow, right? Do they have extracurricular activities, things like soccer or sports or, you know, any type of things like that, that you need to consider and play a role. So for example, we have it in our parenting agreement that anything our child signs up for, we both have to agree on. And, you know, so for example, I couldn't sign her up for hockey if he didn't agree. You know, cause maybe it's something that he doesn't want her to do. And we would have to discuss it. Right. And that's just important. I think everything's important. So, and that also we would be responsible for splitting the costs, right? You know, do your kids have any special needs? Do they have any medical concerns and medical needs? Are those things that need to be considered? Does your child have, you know, diabetes? Do they need an insulin pump? Are these things like, are there regular doctor's appointments that have to happen? These are things that you've got to take into consideration. And really, are they developmentally delayed? Are you going to have to look into what happens after they become legal adults? What does the arrangement look like then? There's a lot of things that do have to be considered. But you definitely want to, again, avoid using this as a way to get back at your ex. Don't use your kid as a bargaining chip. Don't use your kid as leverage. It's not okay. You would not want your ex doing that to you. So do not do it to them. You know, I know that it can be hard. I've done a podcast about it, about, you know, treating your ex like an equal, even if it kills you. I know it can be hard because, again, like I said, a lot of us have really exes that are just a giant pain in our ass. But you still need to try. And that's the best way to try and get to a civil place. It's taken me and my ex a long time, and we're kind of close to being a civil, but we're still just on the borderline of, you know, it's a teetery position. It's not very, very solid. And I think we might be okay by the time my daughter like graduates high school. And then at that point we have to worry. But again, I know it's hard, but you really got to kind of grit your teeth and do your absolute best to not use your kid as leverage, or time with your kid as leverage, or child support as leverage. My ex used to, that's one of the reasons I filed paperwork, is that when my ex got mad at me, he would use the child support against me. He would stop paying it, or he would tell me, don't make me take you to court. Don't make me take you to court. I'll take you to court. I'll take you to court and I will completely drag you through the mud, blah, blah, blah. Like when we were arguing. And I just got tired of that being a threat. I got tired of that being used as leverage. I got tired of child support being used as some way to get what he wanted. Like my daughter was for sale in some fashion. So I just filed paperwork instead. So when I handed it to him, that's why he refused to take it. He's like, what is this? I said, it's paperwork. I filed papers. And he's like, I'm not taking it. He was mad at me for doing it. As much as he threatened me with it, when I finally filed papers, he got pissed. He was mad that I did it. So, but again, it was never intended as a way to get one over on my ex. I was just tired of that being used as leverage. So again, having a parenting agreement gives you just a nice solid foundation of this is how it is. You can't use visitation against me. I can't use visitation against you because we have it laid out already what it should be. You can't use child support against me. I can't use it against you because we already have it laid out. Right? And if you don't adhere to this, then you're in contempt of our custody agreement, our parenting agreement, and we can go back to court and there could be consequences. You could lose the time that you have. And again, it's not being used as leverage, but it's a matter of saying, you know, hey, this is what we're going to do. This is what we agreed to do. Also, you know, don't focus on this as like you're beating them. You're not winning. It's not a win-lose situation. It's not, I'm getting one over on you. It's not anything like that. It's not a competition. It's not, ha ha ha, I got this from you. And even if your ex does feel that way, because I talked to one mom who, she just recently had to go through this, and the courts gave some time and visitation to her ex. And she was really struggling with it because she had, you know, she had that control factor like I did, where I've never let my child go. He's never been without me. I'm so worried about her. Will he, you know, should be okay. And so she really, really struggled. But she, when they went to court, her ex kind of looked at her smugly like, ha ha ha, I got what I wanted. And that really kind of cut her. So, you know, I want you to flip that and just remember how that felt. And we don't want that. We don't want to feel that way. So we shouldn't want to make other people feel that way. You know what I mean? So even if your ex is a jerk, even if they're a schmuck, be a better person. Be a better person because it's what's best for your kid. And that is the ultimate bottom line. And it is hard as hell sometimes. It is really, really hard as hell. I struggle still. You know, my ex today asked if I wanted to come to dinner with him and his wife and my daughter after her parent-teacher conference. And I was like, no, no, I'm good. You know, I'm still not at a point where I'm like, yeah, let's sit down and have dinner. I can't do it. I'll be civil. I'm polite. I'll have conversations with you. I'll laugh with you at jokes and stuff like that. But, you know, I don't look at it as like we're friends and we're going to go hang out and we're going to have dinner. Like, that's just not where I'm at, you know. For no reason. If it doesn't have anything to do with our kid, I don't really have a reason to be talking to you or conversing with you. We're not friends. So, you know, that may change as we go on, but I try and keep everything about our daughter. That's all it is anymore. You know, and again, the very beginning when it was raw and the breakup was new, that was hard because, you know, it's human nature. You hurt me, I want to hurt you, right? That's human nature. I want you to hurt as bad as I hurt. Here's the thing, though. They're not gonna hurt as bad as you. You know, especially if they're the ones that ended the relationship, especially if they're the ones being jerks. They're not gonna hurt like you are, no matter what you do. And using your kid as a way to try and hurt them just makes you the worst person. It really does. So avoid it. You really got to avoid it. It's hard, though, I know, because, like, that's, you feel like that you, there's only one thing you have control of now at this point, and that's parenting. I'm the mom. This is my rules. Deal with it, right? And that's just not how it should go, and it's really difficult. Like I said, I struggled with it. It was definitely hard for me. I always say I'm human. I've made mistakes. I'm never going to come on here and say I'm perfect and I did it right all the time. I'm struggling through this just like everybody else. But I have gone through this part, and I know that if I had come at it from the get-go, it would have been better for all of us. And as we've gone on, and as I've grown, and as that wound healed from the breakup, and then I got that 20, you know, the hindsight's 20/20 thing, and I look back and go, oh, yeah, it's probably a good idea that it's a good thing that didn't work out, because, yeah, no, we should not be together. I don't know what I was thinking. But it took a minute to get to that, and then it was all solely about, this is what's best for our daughter. But again, there's a lot of control issues, and there's a lot of stuff that came down with that, and so I've been through all of that, and I'm still just getting to the point where, like I said, everything's going good. And it's really, like I said, that's the other really big key component, too, is, you know, don't think that you're the only one who can take care of your kid. You're not. You know, the dad can do it. He may not do it the way you do it, but he can do it. You know, and again, this is taking into consideration that the environment is safe. There's no safety concerns. Your child isn't, you know, you don't have to worry about abuse or neglect or addiction or anything like that that you might have to worry about. That's a whole other conversation. That's a whole other ball of wax. But if it's just you guys split up and you're sharing custody, they're going to learn. They'll figure it out. And, you know, one of the best things that you could probably do is go, look, you know, I'm really uncomfortable with this. This is really hard for me. I know that you're their parent. I know that you can do this, but it's really hard for me to let go of this control. So please just do me a favor. If you have questions, if you're worried, if you're freaked out, if you're overwhelmed, please just call me. I'll answer any questions. You know, I'll give you any information you need. Right? And just keep yourself open and give yourself as a resource. If you're really worried about their ability to care for your child, make sure you keep the lines of communication open so you're a resource for them, so they know that they can get in touch with you if they need to. Because if it's all contemptuous, if it's all anger, if they're really freaked out, if they're really overwhelmed, if they have no idea what they're doing, but they know that if they call you, it's going to be a fight, odds are they're not going to call you. Wouldn't you rather them talk to you and you know that the questions that they have are answered? Wouldn't you rather have that comfort? So try really hard to create an environment where you have that. Because like I said, you're both parents and we didn't know what we were doing when we first started. We had to figure it out. You know, men may be slow, but they're competent most of the time and they can do it. And, you know, in all honesty, for me, I was laughing a lot of times when I had to picture my ex, you know, changing a diaper that, you know, the blowout where it all goes up the back of their onesie and it's nasty and green and everywhere. Like, I'm like, yeah, take care of that all by yourself, man, because I was the one that used to always have to do it. So now that I'm not there, I don't know if the stepmom or his girlfriend at the time, if she ended up taking care of it for him, but I was happily envisioning that. So just know that they can do it and don't, you know, these are things that it takes a little while to be okay with them. It is a process. You are going to need to work through it and get to a point where you're good with these things. But it is very important to have these agreements in place and get the solid idea of who's responsible for what days are with who, are we sharing holidays? You know, we have it set up where Christmas Eve is with one and Christmas Day is with the other, and every year we flip it. Same with, you know, Halloween every other year. Same with birthdays every other year, right? Mother's Day is always with me, Father's Day is always with him, things like that. So these are just great things to have in place, and it gives you less things to argue about potentially because they can't just go, well, I'm going to do this instead. No, that's not what's in the agreement. Sorry. We're not going to discuss it anymore. If you want to change the agreement, we can definitely go back to court. Right? And that just takes away that power struggle. Hopefully. So if you haven't done so, definitely look into it. I'm going to post this podcast on the blog, thesinglemomblog.com. I'm also going to include some links on that blog post if you're interested for some parenting agreement examples, some great resources. For example, there's a tool called a custody calendar sharing thing. That's something that you pay for, but it helps you manage the schedule, the visitation, notes, you know, so if you have a real contested, because again, sometimes it just doesn't work and you're just always going to be contested and no matter what you do. So if you really have just one of those volatile relationships, but where you've got to keep track of everything, I want to keep track of the time, I want to be tracking if he shows up, if he doesn't, like I got to track all of this. I'll put a link to it. I can't remember exactly the name of it right off the top of my head, but it helps you kind of keep track of those things. And it's fairly inexpensive. It's not too expensive. I think you can pay either a monthly fee or you can pay by year or for a lifetime. And it just sort of helps keep track of all that. So that's really helpful. Again, I'll link to some of the parenting agreement examples and things of that nature just as resources for you guys if you're interested in finding out more about how that works. And then as far as filing the paperwork, that's something that you would just look up on your local court documents. You can look it up online, how to file a parental agreement in whatever state you live in. And then that should show you what you need to do or whatever county. I'm sorry, it probably is going to be the county that you live in. So I hope that this was helpful. Again, if you don't have a parenting agreement, it is definitely something that I recommend that you should definitely have. It's just a good idea. So please look into it if you don't. And if you do, or if you're currently in the process of working through one, please take a lot of this information to heart because in the long run, it will be what's best for your kid. And that's really what it all boils down to. I know that it's hard sometimes for us to push our egos aside, but that's what we need to do when it comes to our parenting. It is definitely a struggle, but it needs to be done as often as you possibly can to try and make sure that you are giving the best environment for your kid and or kids. So I hope that this was helpful. I hope you got a lot of great information from it. Again, don't forget to go to the blog to look for the resources there. And I hope you have a wonderful day. Take care and we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks so much for joining me today for this episode of the Single Mom Podcast. I really hope that you enjoyed it. There is even more great stuff over at the Single Mom Blog, so please be sure to head on over to thesinglemomblog.com. And also, don't forget to follow us on all of our social media channels so that you know anytime a new episode is posted.